Psalm number 92 is where we're singing now. And we sing, of course, at the beginning of the psalm, 92, and verses 1 to 4. To render thanks unto the Lord, it is a comely thing, and to thy name, O thou most high, due praise aloud to sing. Psalm 92, and we sing 4 stanzas, 1 to 4. Now let us read some verses in 1 Thessalonians. We were reading these verses recently, but we're going to come back to 1 Thessalonians and reading chapter 4 at verse 13 into chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, at verse 13, these are very famous words, but they're worth remembering. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep, go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In other words, those who have gone into glory, they go before we do. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Let us join together in prayer. Our gracious God and heavenly Father, hallowed be the name of the Lord. May God's kingdom come, may God's will be done upon the earth as it is done in heaven. May we always rejoice in the assurance that God's purposes of grace stand generation by generation. And it is always true up until the very last generation that generations yet unborn shall praise and magnify the Lord. We need to be encouraged constantly by reminders of the future, O Lord, because we are taken sometimes overmuch by the past and the troubles of the present. And we so often look back into the great days of revivals and the great days of fruitful gospel preaching, and we envy those days sometimes. And we look into the present day and sometimes we are disheartened and discouraged. And sometimes we see the future with great forebodings and fears. Heavenly Father, help us as we read the scriptures and as we get the plain message and the plain and present implications of the message, that we would remember that Christ is alive, that he is victorious, that he has entered into death in order to deal with death, in order to defeat it, and finally, when he comes again in the glory, to destroy it ultimately. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And already we know from the gospel that the first steps of that final destruction have already been accomplished, and that Christ died once for sin, never to die again, and that he lives by the power of an indestructible life. So as we gather this afternoon again around the world, the word, O Lord, we give thanks that the word is so plain, that these things are spoken to us over and over again, not casually but in detail, not simply as if they were incidents or trifles or fringe doctrines, but so emphasized and so repeated as to draw us very clearly to the notion that these are fundamental truths, non-negotiable, and that the gospel cannot exist without the saving work and the victorious work of Christ. So we give thanks this afternoon, O God, that the gospel is before us once again. And we pray that we would experience the gospel, that we would know something of this transforming power of the risen Christ who lives by the power of an endless life, and that he is the one who can change and transform our lives, not simply by sweet influences or words or examples or teachings, but by a mighty power of grace which brings a new life into the hearts of his people and puts to death the old man once and for all, and increasingly so. And the new life is planted once and for all, by the power of God's creative actions and is increasingly developed and grows in the life that we live to maturity and to glory. So, Heavenly Father, help us as we gather again around the Word to have ears that would be willing to hear it clearly, hearts that would be tenderized and prepared to receive it willingly, and that our whole life and attitude to life would be one of following Christ more closely, loving him more dearly, and following him more nearly. We acknowledge, Heavenly Father, that sometimes we drift away, sometimes we become dull of hearing, and the scripture becomes a burdensome to us, and the preaching of the gospel, we find it perhaps a sweet sound, but lacking the impact and the vitality of the living bread of heaven. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would this afternoon be hungry for the Word, and that the light that it gives would be the delight of our hearts, that we would see Jesus, and that we would have that light of God shining into our hearts to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look upon us in pity and in grace to this end as we gather around the Holy Scriptures again now, O God, and may the Holy Spirit illuminate our understanding and teach us in his own loving and wise way, and that he would teach us the things of Christ, taking the things of Christ and revealing them to us, that we might know him whom to know is life eternal. We ask for grace, we ask for mercy. We remember those who rule over us. We remember our loved ones always. We remember the church. We remember those who are listening through the telephone link up and off the web. And we pray for all who hear this word to be enlivened, enlightened, encouraged, instructed, perhaps rebuked, but always comforted, because the message of grace is a message of consolation to those who believe. And so this is our prayer now, and always and only we pray for God's glory, and through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. We're going to read further in the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles, and in chapter 16. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. And we can pick up the reading at verse 14. This is Paul on his second missionary journey. He has come to Philippi. And on the Sabbath, he went out with his companions to the riverside, where he knew there was a prayer meeting of certain women gathered there. And he went to join them and to speak to them, to preach to them. And we're told at verse 14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace, into the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he, the jailer, called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let these men go." And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out secretly? No, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. And so on. Amen. Now, the notices, of course, are the following. Wednesday at 7 p.m. will be a recorded message. And next Lord's Day, the morning, at 10:30, will be a recorded message. And the afternoon service, as far as we know, will be a recorded service also. If there are any changes in these closures, then I'm sure you will be informed in good time. But as far as we understand it, this coming week's services also are recorded messages. Far from ideal, but we have to live with what we've got, and half a loaf is better than no bread. And so we are thankful that the word of the Lord is not bound, even due to the fact that we don't meet face to face. But God willing, things will change eventually. So in the meantime, we live with reality. We welcome visitors to these services, and always we just remind you of the offerings for the Lord's work. As far as I know, that's the end of the notices. So we shall continue to sing to God's praise and glory in Psalm number 92. And we sing verses 5 to 11. "How great, Lord, are thy works, each thought of thine, a deep it is." Psalm 92, verses 5 to 11.